Our reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Amen.
So think about our mother gifts. You know this about a wonderful one. You know why sometimes, maybe you don't, maybe you decide who you're going to buy a gift for, and maybe you don't see that person, or you don't connect with that person, or maybe you just buy some gifts just in case someone calls, and they bring you a gift, and you're going to have one to give them back. You know those kind of gifts? And maybe you've got some gifts wrapped up at home that haven't been opened. But in a sense, we're denying someone the pleasure of opening a gift or whatever's in here. But this one remained ungiven, remained unopened, and so nobody really benefits from that. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be thinking about what it means to be church, what it means to be the people of God, why are we here, what do we do, and why do we do it? And we're going to be thinking about mission and outreach, because that's a big bit of who we are and what that means. So over the next few weeks, we're going to think about, what does that mean? Why does it matter to me? Why is it important? Why are we as a church called to do that or to be like that? So we're going to be thinking about that. Our Alpha course is part of that whole kind of thing of outreach, because it's not just about us. It's about thinking about the world outside. That world could be the people next door, or our family, or our neighbours, or our work colleagues. But that, of course, is part of that, a really important part of that. So we're going to be thinking how this all fits in together. But mission, outreach, is a gift. It is the gift. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. It is a good gift, and it is a vital gift, because without this gift, the world is lost. Individuals are lost. Jesus came to rescue, to find, to save. So mission is all part of this. It's about giving, about blessing, about changing a person's world. So we want to start at the very beginning, back in Genesis chapter 1. At the very beginning, those opening words, "In the beginning was God." No, that's John chapter 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's a kind of generalized statement, just to say that God created everything. It's an affirmation that this universe didn't just come to be randomly, by accident. Whatever way it happened, the Bible tells us that God made it happen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's a kind of generalized statement, but then the whole passage goes on to be more specific. There is a series of days when God creates, and God said, and God said, and God said. And it happens over a number of days, and God said, "Let there be light," the first day. And God said, "Let's create the sky," the second day. He said, "Let's create land and sea and vegetation and plants," the third day. "Let's create the sun and the moon and the stars and all those heavenly bodies out there," the fourth day. Then he said, "Let the sea teem with fish, and let the the birds of the air fill the sky, and let the land be abundant of all sorts of animal life. The fifth day. There's this progression all the way through from verses 1 to verse 25. There's a progression. And then verse 26 is the climax of the chapter. What do you think the climax is? Who do you think the climax is? It's you. And God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. So anyway, sorry, you've tickled my funny bone. Anyway, so there's this crescendo. Verse 26 reaches a crescendo. God has created the earth as we see it today, as he wanted it to be. He makes all the bits and pieces, and then he says, let's make man in our image. But this is a totally different thing from the creation of all other things. Suddenly, God says, let us make man in our image. Before, things were simply brought to be when God said, let there be. But now he says, let's make a man. There's a whole different tone, a whole different structure. Man is not in the same category as other living things. So if someone says man is simply another kind of ape, well, the Bible says that that's not true. A man called Thomas Carlyle, a Scottish philosopher and essayist, back in the 19th century, he was discussing with his friends about Darwinism, evolution. And he said, you place man a little higher than the tadpole. But he said, I hold with the ancient singer who said, you have made him a little lower than the angels. He's talking about Psalm 8, great Psalm. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. So it's a different way of looking at it, isn't it? Are we a little higher than the tadpole or a little lower than an angel? The psalmist says it is the latter. And the way God makes animals, verse 20, let the sea teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. And again, God says, let the land produce living creatures according to their kind, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals. It's a picture of mass production. Let the seas teem with fish. Let the skies be filled with birds. Let the land be abundant with all sorts of animals. It's mass production. But when it came to man, he made one. And then he made another one. Man was and is special, made in his image. As an individual, and God relates to us as individuals, not as a mass. Can you see the difference? The seas teem with fish there, but let's make a man. And let's make another one. And let's make them in our image. And let's have a relationship with them. Totally different. Made for a special relationship. We are rational beings. We are creative beings. We are moral beings. We are spiritual beings. We are God-conscious beings. And everyone is important. Everyone is special. I'm special. That's not a daft boast. That's simply what the Bible tells us. Mankind is special to God. And it doesn't matter if you're a king or a person who lives in the streets. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, young or old. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're a terrorist or you're the most godly person in the world. Everyone is made in God's image and special to him. We are special. Verse 28. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. rule over the fish, and rule over the birds of the air, and rule over every living creature that moves on the ground. We have a special relationship with God, and we were given a special role by God. And that role was to rule. That doesn't mean to dominate in an oppressive way. That means to protect, to guard, to care, to love the creation that God had made. He made people and said, this is your role. Here's this earth. Take care of it. Rule over it. That was the job that he gave us to do. Chapter 2, verse 19 says this, now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever he named them, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. That must have been quite a job, mustn't it? Having all these animals brought to you. But that was the job God gave to man. I want you to rule, so I'm going to bring all these animals, you name them. It's kind of a very basic thing in all kind of science-based things. Giving names to things. If you're a medic, you give every bone in your body a name. There's lots of them. But that was their job, to give names to all the animals, because they would care for these animals. They would rule over them. They would protect them. God gave them a job to do. Man is not simply an ape from a tadpole or whatever. God was shaped by God in his image and given a special job to do. But sin entered the scene. And with sin came death and all the awful things that we're aware of today. We look around the world, we see a distorted world, a broken world, fractured world. And the image that man was made in, God's image, was distorted when sin came. But it was not destroyed. And that's the good news of Christmas. That is the gift we have to offer. We live in a broken world. It's a mess. It's always been a mess since Adam and Eve ate that fruit. Broken, wayward, greedy, selfish. We know all that. And not just out there, but in here. Because we're all the result of sin. Our hearts are deceptive. Our nature, our fallen, is fallen. Our destiny is death for all of us. But the good news, the vital news, is that God has given us a gift in his Son. And as we take communion shortly, we remember what happened and the results of what happened, that broken people could be fixed, restored, renewed, and that death itself would not separate us from the love of God, our Father. This is the gift. That by trusting Jesus, Eden could be restored. And Eden will be restored when the lion and the lamb will lie down together. And when we see him face to face, and there'll be no more weeping, no more tears, no regrets, no death. It'll be like it was always meant to be. And as we think about a world outside our families, our neighborhood, we're thinking about the good news that is for them. The hope that it brings. The life that it offers. And as we think about mission and outreach, and as we think about our Alpha course, that is what we're doing. God wants us to help to bring shalom. Shalom is a word that you know that Jews will give as a greeting. But it means peace, it means being whole. What it means is having the things that are wrong restored to being right again, to have everything in its place as it should be, the way God wanted it to be from the beginning. That's what shalom means. And that's what salvation is, bringing things the way they're meant to be, in step with God, not broken, but a perfect image. Colossians chapter 3 talks about the image being renewed. You have put on the new self. These are people who have trusted in Jesus. You have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. As we know Jesus, as we learn more about him, as we live for him, as that knowledge increases, so we change. This is not how I'm meant to live. This is how I'm meant to live. This is not how I'm meant to think. This is how I'm meant to think. Changes everything for the better because we become what we were always intended to be. And so for us as a church, this is our privilege, this is our responsibility to take this gift and to offer it to the world. It is too good to keep it to ourselves. A gift that remains ungiven and unopened will not be a blessing. But we want to take this good news and offer it to the world that needs it. A broken and dark world. To offer them Jesus, the Savior of the world, the light of the world, the gateway into heaven. For there is no other way. This is our privilege. This is our responsibility. And this is what we're going to be thinking about over the next few weeks. And Alpha is part of that. And this is part of that. So isn't it a wonderful challenge? Isn't it exciting? I find it very exciting that we have truth, the truth of the good news of the gospel of Jesus, of a God who loves us and who sent his son to us, a God who will come again, a God to whom we can give thanks just like the writer of the first hymn. No matter what has happened in the world, we know our God reigns and our God will come again and he will restore all things. So trust him, follow him, be obedient to him as individuals, as a church. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth should care to know my name? Who am I? That's what the psalmist asked in Psalm 8. That's what the song that we're about to sing says. Who am I? You are special. You are made in his image. He has a plan for your life. He knows your baggage and your burdens and your hurt. But he knows what he wants to do with you, to shape you. So have big ambitions.